This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are back after a long hiatus. I'm back from Japan, back from China, and we are drinking Triptic beers. These last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And I'm back from the land of the rising sun.
Man, and Chicago Beer Pass is back. Brad, you were gone for 2 weeks, man, in fucking China and then to Japan?
I know, yeah. It was an epic trip. Man. It is far. It took a long time to get there. It was like a 13-hour, 14-hour flight to China.
Man. And you had never been to either.
No, neither. Okay. Yeah. So it was pretty fantastic.
Man.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of stuff, man. I'm like, I don't even know where to start with this guy. He was all over the place.
Yeah, I was posting a lot on Instagram, and so was Maeve. So we were sharing everything that was happening.
I think the go-karts through like actual streets in the town.
Yeah.
In Mario go-kart.
Yeah, so you're in go-karts. You're dressed up like Mario characters driving through the streets of Tokyo.
Yeah.
With all the traffic. Like, it's not like special roads for go-karts.
Right.
Full-on traffic. At one point, you're doing 60 miles an hour over Rainbow Bridge.
No shit.
Yeah. So, So in Mario Kart, there's Rainbow Bridge. That's a real bridge. Mm. And you drive across it. Super, like, so meta, right?
Man.
And I got my, you know, rocking my Snorlax hat.
Yeah.
My Pokemon hat.
You lose me with the animation. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what kind of hat that is.
And then I didn't bring any beer back from Japan. There's some good craft beer. There's some interesting things from like Mino, and there's even Sapporo has a craft line.
Okay.
Like sort of like if AB was just to call like Goose Island like AB Craft.
Gotcha.
And they were pretty good, so I had those.
Yeah. One time, Sapporo, they have their new tap handle design is the sword. It's like a sword with like a leather wrapped handle. I thought that was cool.
Oh, nice!
I haven't had Sapporo in a long time.
I didn't even see any tap handles anywhere. Everywhere, any beer place we went, just typically had just the metal nub kind of thing. But before I left, I saw this beer on the shelf. I was debating if we were going to drink this before I left or when I came back. Yeah. But we had that juicy one from...
Oh, the Funcilla or Funicula.
Yeah.
The Saint Laurent, the naked juice from Saint Laurent.
Right, which was a great beer. And I felt like that one we needed to drink fresh because it was that haze.
Yeah. And that was... that had some, like, you know... What, I guess, like, Far East-inspired, like... architecture on the label.
Right, yeah.
You hate to say Asian. That sounds silly. Like, Asian inspired. This is like, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This one is actually, like, brewed for a Japanese... it's called the Japan House.
Yeah.
And it's on the University of Illinois campus. So this is the 20th anniversary, and Triptic brewed, like, two beers for it. So this comes in a four-pack, and you get two different beers.
Yeah, the first one looks like a sparkling lager, and the second one is a hoppy hazy ale.
Mm-hmm.
I love the mixed four-pack, man. I'm a fan.
Yeah, this is fantastic. And the artwork on it is like that chibi style, so very cute and fun.
Yeah, this the lager is called Mirai, Beautiful Future. So it's a lager with polished rice, koji, and sriracha ace hops. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about koji. I know Sriracha Ace is a hop used in Brooklyn's Sriracha Ace.
Right.
And IPA. That's the first time I heard
it. And it's the hop from Japan, so
I want to say
it's the only, I believe it's the only hop they grow, or like the main hop. So beer in Japan and China is really expensive because there's not a lot of hop farms, right?
Mm.
So like it just costs a lot more. Like if you were buying a pint out at the bar, it was about $10 to $11 a pint. So we would drink a lot of like half pours for $5, $6.
Okay. They're taxing them with that $12 full pour. That's...
Yeah, it was rough. It's like, well, I guess I kind of win because I get to try other stuff. That's but... true,
because yeah, you cut your size down.
Yeah.
So Triptych... never had their stuff, I don't think. They're in Savoy. I'm not sure where that is.
Not sure. I think I've seen them and had them at festivals. But they're a fest beer to me.
Go ahead and say it's down yonder.
Right? Okay.
Like past, past
over yonder.
It's somewhere past Kankakee. Kankakee is where we stop.
Definitely.
So I think, but I don't know. I don't know where Savoy is. This beer is fun. I like the story too, man. It's like celebrating Asian women and all that they've contributed. And yeah, and 20 years of it, and throwing throwing these ingredients in it too, mm-hmm. and, you know, makes the lager a little more interesting. I can dig it.
So yeah, we both have the lager we're drinking now. We'll dive into this hoppy hazy ale shortly here as we keep chatting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fun trip. Some decent craft beer, as I mentioned, in China. This brewery called Jing'e. Mm-hmm. I believe they're located in Shanghai, but they have a brew pub in Beijing as well. Went there. Goose Island has done things with them. We ran into someone there that spoke really well, good English, and they're ex-Americans. So we mentioned, oh, we know the Goose Island people. They're like, oh, who do you know? We mentioned like some people we know. Yeah. They'd never heard of it. And we're like, oh, and she's, and we said, oh, they're in Chicago. And she's like, oh, the like real Goose Island, because
where it started.
Yeah, because they were thinking the Goose Island in Shanghai.
That's funny.
So they know those people.
It's
but.
Bizarre. It's bizarre that that's a global brand, you know. Because like, you know, Brooklyn Brew, they have breweries around the world, but they're all like localized and they take on different names. But Goose is Goose, like in Japan and on Fulton. You know, it's crazy.
So it was that was cool. Their beer was pretty tasty. We went to another brew pub in China. They were also selling cans of Trillium.
No shit.
Yeah, and I took a picture and shared on our Instagram story. I didn't like. It was kind of expensive to buy the cans, but I was like, "Why are there cans of Trillium here?" It was weird.
Somebody got talked into it, right? Yeah, those import accounts, man.
But I don't
understand that, because those are usually like the super fresh. Those are freshies. Those are the fresh hazies, right?
Right,
Trillium
yeah.
Stuff, right?
I thought it's up there like with Treehouse,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, Treehouse and I would have gotten that question wrong on the test.
Yeah.
Which East Coast brewery is in China?
Yeah, just cans of Trillium. It was kind of strange. And then in Japan, the best craft brewery we went to was Miho.
Miho.
Yeah. They have like a monkey. And their beers were great. Like,
now Japan's an island, so you got to fly from China to Japan.
Yeah, right? Correct.
Fucking Americans, man. I don't know what
that was a pretty easy flight. That was like 3 hours. I like watched one movie or something.
Okay, yeah,
so not bad.
Cool.
Yeah, so it was fun. But most of the time, just drinking a lot of Asahi.
Oh, that's the like the lager.
Yeah, so it's Sapporo and Asahi.
Yeah.
Asahi is just crushable. I think like this is like a sparkling lager with rice. There's something about like rice lagers that you just crush. Like Miller Lite and all those are kind of, I believe they use rice, but there's something a little more to them. Like the Japanese lagers, it's just like, boom, they're gone.
It's almost like a very flavorful, like sparkling water.
Mm-hmm. And it goes great with some ramen, and it's just like perfect. It cuts through that heat.
I don't even know how you end up in China and Japan, like, but that's off topic. So stay focused on the beer.
So that was cool. That was my little beer travels through there. So tried to hit up as many beer places as we could. We went to a beer bar that was Portland themed, Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
Only served beer from Portland. All the decor was Portland, and it kind of sucked because I've had all those beers from Portland.
Yeah.
I bet it's awesome if you're in Japan as like a Japanese person, but as an American who goes to Portland all the time, I was like, I want Japanese beers.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I guess if you go to War Pigs, which is, I think is in Copenhagen, their thing is like American barbecue brisket and hoppy beers.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But if you're in Copenhagen, yeah. And you're from here, you wouldn't. Yeah. You'd be like, all right, whatever.
And we went to this place called Craft Heads. I don't know if you've ever seen Craft Heads pop up on Twitter.
I want to say Ohio, right?
No, they're in Tokyo.
Oh.
But they were like this big craft beer spot in the early days of Twitter craft beer kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they have Dark Matter Coffee. They do beers with Three Floyds.
Man.
They do a couple other like local Chicago people and things too. So that was funny. But they also had Japanese beers. So we drank Japanese beers.
You're turning me on to the idea of going to a place. Because I told you, man, my biggest fear is like going to a country where English is not the primary language and drinking too much and just being, you know, stranded and lost forever in this foreign land. That's the fear. But it sounds like, you know, English is a prevalent language. And there's a lot of American stuff happening
right
in these places.
And Japanese people are so nice, yeah. Especially in Tokyo. They will gladly help you and show you the way if you're doing something wrong or like, I can't find this. They will do their best to try to help you. I believe I've heard that most people in Japan, they learned English in school, like right. In like primary school. But they only learned how to read it and hear it. They never did conversation. Like they weren't taught with someone to like talk to them. Like we take foreign language, someone like talks and interacts with you. No, they just learned how to read it and listen to it. So they know words and they know certain things, but they have never used it enough to be like have a conversation.
Hmm.
So that's kind of so they pick up. They know like the general like. Bathroom and I'm law like that kind of beer.
Right. That's cool.
Most of them do. Yeah. But, yeah, it was fun.
That sounds fun, man. It looked fun too.
Yeah, I think we could have drank more, but like I said, it was expensive.
Yeah. Right on.
And man. You have a lot to do, but that was a brief overview of my couple weeks. What have you been doing? Where have you been drinking?
Man, Brad, I've been riding my bicycle on fucking weekends.
You've been picking up for me.
You know, yeah. As Brad's telling me how he goes like 20 miles on his bike, I'm like, man, I can go 4 miles up the street. I can go 10 miles round trip. So I've been doing a lot of that. There's a couple things I want to talk about, but I'll just run through all the stuff that I did real quick,
yeah.
Right? The Henna release, Barrel Age Henna out in Villa Park. Never going out there again. Not they're fine. They're, it's good. It's cool. When you get out there, I was just like, man, it was a long day.
Because you took the train.
Yeah, I took the train out there.
Okay.
And, you know, it was, but, you know, it was what they did was they give you the five ounce snifter.
Yeah.
And it was available all weekend. They had enough of it so that they could serve 5 ounces of it all weekend. And then you picked up your bottle between Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
It was cool that it was on tap for $5.
That's nice.
That's
yeah.
Nice. I dug that.
And you got your bottle.
And I got my bottle. Nice. Came in a cute little... Black bag.
Okay.
It was cool though because it was labeled. You know, it's labeled with more and henna on the bag. It was a labeled bag. It was cool.
Oh, cool.
The Lakeview Beer Stroll was pretty good. It was only good. Well, I'm not gonna say that. It was good for two reasons. Beermiscuous was hosting Route A, and I was like, dude, if I don't start up Beermiscuous, I kind of don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, but then On Tour Brewing was pouring. You know.
Where at?
They were pouring at a realtor company.
Oh.
So you could go to like record shops and like furniture stores, and they made it a point to go to, you would skip bars. Like on the stroll, you'd bypass the bar because the next stop is a recording studio. Oh, okay. Like Temperance is, you know, all these other places. But man, starting at Beermiscuous and then seeing all these businesses and then drinking On Tour in, you know, a 4 mile bike ride versus coming all the way to West Loop.
Right. Okay.
That was cool. Oh, cheers to Beermiscuous, man. I tried a lot of cool stuff there, and I picked up the Tennessee Tornado, which was a barrel-aged beer from Crete.
Crete,
Illinois. Yeah.
The brewery is called Crete?
No, the town. The town is called Crete.
Oh, okay. What's the brewery called?
The brewery's called Evil Horse.
Hmm.
Is that right?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
That feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Dark Horse is up in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
This is evil. This is the Evil Horse.
Okay.
Sneaky good beer. There's a crew from New York called Employees Only. They had a pop-up at Three Dots and a Dash. Both of those bars, Employees Only and Three Dots and a Dash, are on the 50 best bars in the world list.
Oh, so it's a bar that's called Employees Only?
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
I like that because there's also that brewery in Denver called Our Mutual Friend.
Our Mutual Friend.
Yeah.
Great name. Yeah. And cool spot.
Yeah.
Cool spot, too. Yeah, the tiki thing was interesting because they'd used Monkey Shoulders Scotch. Yeah, bizarre. I'm like, I don't. The last thing I think of is scotch in tiki drinks, and they nailed it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
We met the Energy City guys. You know, I forgot to bring. Energy City had a release for the stout.
Their s'more stout.
Right? S'more stout. It's a pastry stout. We met him at Great Central.
Okay.
Because I think he might be looking to brew there, right? Apparently, they're ordering like 200 barrel fermenters at
on tours.
Great Central.
Oh, Great Central.
Great Central, the contract brewer. Yeah, so I'm gonna bring those next week.
Okay.
Nice little 2-pack. I think it got released last week.
Oh, awesome! Yeah. I think it was Saturday or Sunday was the release of that beer.
Yeah, Saturday was released out in Batavia.
Okay.
Batavia. The guys are like chemical engineers.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's like some huge transformer out there, and I think Energy City refers to Batavia because of the type of like engineering work that's done in Batavia.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll drink that either on next week's show or we'll do a video for that. So keep. A lookout.
Yeah. Sophie Paradisi was released since you've been gone. There's been a lot since you've been gone.
I know. Yeah. I guess so.
Sophie Paradisi was out. The label was cool. I think OG Sophie has it beat, though. Mm. You know. But what I did get to try was Mango Magnifico, which is basically Sophie with mango and a tequila barrel.
Okay.
And go side by side. All I was missing was the OG Sophie at that point because I had mango. And
Were you at Goose trying these?
I was at Goose. I should have just ordered the Sophie. Yeah. But dude, I got 3 full pours. Of Sophie, if I did that.
Sounds like you didn't want to try.
Yeah. What else? Oh, Pillar of Beast, which is a pastry barley wine from fucking Three Floyds that came out.
Okay.
Dude, delicious. Vanilla.
Pastry barley wine.
Yeah. What's in this barley wine, man?
This sounds like everything up your alley, right?
I did.
It's like that, the stout flavors you love mixed with the barley wine that you love. Whew. Pastry.
I mean, we got 3 bottles of this stuff.
What? How much were the bottles?
It was like $30 a pop, man.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous, man. Yeah. Asshole. Caramel salted American barley wine aged in bourbon barrels with vanilla beans and cocoa nibs.
So it was very like Halloween, like caramel, it was
very,
apple.
Very
sort of.
Timely, yeah. Caramel, apple, like that, you know, that bitterness, salt. It was, I tell you, man, it was the goods. It was
nice.
A good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
$30. Oof, okay.
Stiff. But yeah.
That's the price for beer now. It went up.
It's like, what are you gonna do, man? You're gonna pay that light bill. You're gonna go get 3 bottles of this this here pastry barley wine. What are you gonna do?
Like, we'll just drink this and pass out. We don't need lights.
I tell you, man, the coolest thing I did since you've been gone was I caught up with Chicago Hardcore Craft Beer, and we did a proper romp up in McHenry County.
A romp.
You know, because, you know, I've been craving for, like, you know, the Brew Bus days. Chicago Brew Bus was 3 stops in 3 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And you kind of get addicted to that. So I'm like, dude, so I called Chris from Hardcore. I'm like, Chris, let's do it. He's like, okay, you got 3 hours? I'm like, yeah. He's like, we're gonna hit 5 stops in 3 hours.
Whoa, okay.
The first thing I thought was like, why the fuck do you live like way?
Who was driving for this?
Chris was driving. Uh-huh. I took the Metro.
Okay.
90 minutes full, one each way.
Okay. So I'm what is it to Villa Park for?
Villa Park is closer to an hour, 45 minutes.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah, this was the full 90.
Okay. Did you take a beer on the trade ride up?
I think on the way back, I brought some Scorched Earth.
Okay.
Yeah. These stops were cool, though. Duke's is the kind of spot. It's right at the Metro station.
A bar?
Yeah, it's just a bar. Duke's and Crystal Lake Brewing is the next block over at that Metro station at Crystal Lake.
Okay.
So Duke's is the kind of bar that's got, you know, they got the digital board. They got a standalone Delirium Tremens tap handle, right? Mm. Like, it's probably as legit as any bar you would go to, period. Right?
Nice.
Like, this is a very solid bar. And then Crystal Lake was the next stop. Yeah, so we've had their stuff on the show.
Yeah, I really dig their beer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's something, like, just right with their stuff.
Exactly. And they're in the perfect spot because they're, like, you know, what is essentially, like, Main Street in Crystal Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's, like, flavorful, but, you know, like, no frills. Just good, clean beer with, like, 6 or 7 options. They even had a Cots Butter. I think that's how you said it. Cot Buster. Whatever Scurry is. That style beer.
Oh, okay.
It was, like, a honey ale with oats.
I was thinking, like... The Harry Potter kind of like butterbeer kind of.
And they had an oatmeal stout on nitro, which I really dug. And they were really cool. The spot, though, was Scorched Earth. Yeah. First time I had Scorched Earth was probably at Goose Belgian Fest.
Yeah.
Like a few years ago. Yeah, and they were just like, they were seriously experimental. Their space is gorgeous, and it's and I think where Crystal Lake Brewing used to be, it used to be the repair shop and showroom for the for like a car dealership across the street.
Okay.
Right. This space, this Scorched Earth space, was like imagine a strip mall, but there's only one client, and then it's the brewery, essentially, right?
Well, that's kind of like what the brewery is in
Cali?
Yeah. They are the entire strip mall. There's just a yoga studio that doesn't, or last time I was there, like 3 years ago, didn't want to sell or didn't want to leave. So they have everything around this yoga studio, and they're like, yo, get out.
Get out, yeah, right? Or just, do yoga and sell these bottles while you're doing this yoga. Yeah.
Because you posted on Instagram about Scorched Earth, about like first time having these guys was the Belgian Beer Fest, and they like rocked your world
surprised that they were in packaging, because I've been to the store in Rogers Park has Scorched Earth. I didn't know they were in packaging. They got a crowler machine as well as, stuff to go. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find their their tap list, because they have, they have a serious sour program, as well as a lot of dark beers too.
Okay.
In addition to their main stuff, they got a category called Crazy Town, which was kind of interesting. That's where you could find the barbecue peach, apricot, Gratzky smoke beer.
Okay, so it's just a category of it's wacky like shit. Experimentals.
Experimentals, yes. Cool. So,
that's fun. I feel like that would come back as like we have so many can and bottle releases, and Alarmist does a lot of like cask stuff where they throw something in a cask with one of their beers. So this experimental thing, I think, is going to pick back up again.
Yeah. So many options that, they give you, a pencil, they give you a sheet, and you just scratch off for your flight what you want. Cause there's so many options. And that's what I dug about it. And the last spot was Roaring Table.
Roaring Table.
Lake Zurich, Illinois. Brad, we were out here.
You were like Wisconsin, right?
I was, dude.
Is it like Gurnee is the next town and then Wisconsin?
I was like, is Lake Zurich like Lake Forest and Lake Bluff? They're like, no, silly Chicagoan. They're totally different.
You're still far from Lake Bluff, right?
Yeah. They were like, no, that's not around here at all.
Yeah.
I had a great time, man. Cheers to Megan from Ish Ales. And for, Chicago Hardcore Craft Beer, man, Chris Jacobson, we kicked it.
Yeah.
We had a proper fucking Thursday night, man.
That was Thursday?
I was useless. I was so useless Friday, man. But so I had a blast with those guys.
Is Roaring Table a bar or is it a brewery?
Roaring Table's a brewery.
Are they in the book?
It's a good question. I think they're in the book.
Whoa.
I think they're in the book.
Okay.
Beermiscuous
book.
The Beermiscuous
book. We say stuff. It's the Beer Miscuous.
Yeah, the Beer Miscuous Field Guide, which really does a good job of hitting a lot of stuff. Mm. However, there's some people not in the book.
People not.
Oh, I think, but it was in a strip mall, kind of like old like Unani is.
Okay.
But it kind of reminded you of like, I felt like I was at Little Goat or something.
Oh.
Right? Just very, very cool. Cool is not the word I wanted to use, but very stylish, kind of snazzy for a brewery. Like I think it almost came off like it happened to be a brewery. Like it was just a very dimly lit, classy place that really cared about, the way things looked. It was a very jazzy spot.
Oh, that's cool.
It was nice. Yeah, it didn't feel like your traditional, industrial park.
Band of Bohemian.
It was more along the lines of Band of Bohemia than like, you go to Floyd's and Floyd's is,
Well, Floyd's is like, we had bands play here and we decided to brew beer. So that's like the other extreme, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where maybe like On Tour where.
Yeah. So like if you're at On Tour or Grand Central or Great Central, it has a certain look, your traditional brewery look.
Yeah,
and then there's some places that kind of feel like they could be more than a brewery, but they're really just a really cool brewery.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, but yeah, that's a spot I hit that I was
nice.
That romp was very, very fun.
That sounds good. Yeah. 90 minutes on the train, Villa Park. Make your way up there. Oof, so you were drinking scorched earth on the way back and probably falling asleep.
I was like trying to have a conversation and falling over.
With who?
With
someone. You're like, what's up, man? You've been drinking all night on Thursday too?
I mean, I didn't realize how old I was till we hit this thing, but it was great. It was great. I had a good time. I had a good fucking time.
Nice. That sounds awesome. Yeah. I really do want to check out Crystal Lake Brewing and Scorched Earth. Like, you need to let me know next time you're going to do this.
I'm down, man.
I'll take the train up. I'll do it. I don't do any Metro ride trips ever.
Yeah, you can get work done on it. Because, CTA, you're not really whipping your laptop out. You know, but on Metra, you can drink on the platform, you can drink on the train, and, you know, it's a lot more comfortable vibe. You can, like, I can whip out my MacBook and we can get some work done.
Right, yeah.
I'm not doing that shit on the blue line.
No, because someone might steal it.
And we might get...
Someone might just piss on it. I don't know. You never know what's going to happen on the CTA.
Nowadays, there's so much stuff going up on Milwaukee that the blue line's kind of gross. It's just, like, overcrowded.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do anything. But, yeah. It was good, man. Good week.
Nice. Since I've been back, I also hit up. I was craving some haze. Oh yeah. Christ. Speaking of haze, I dived into the Hoppy Hazel from Triptych here. But I went to Forbidden Root.
Oh, right on.
Rolled over there. They had most of the same stuff on. They had this beer called Beatbox, though. Mm-hmm. It was a beet beer.
Oh, really?
I should have stuck with a sample of that. Like, it's good.
But yeah, it's not like your palate's not ready for 12 ounces of it. Like,
yeah,
that.
Like, I don't drink beet juice on a daily basis. So the fact that now I'm drinking a beet beer is like, I'm going to be here a while. But it was fun to try. And I think I posted a picture on Instagram of that. Yeah.
Like, was it like, did it have the hue? Too like
with, yeah it was like red. Yeah, it looked like beet. Like, beet is one of those things where if you put beet juice or beet, it just makes it red, and it will stain your clothes instantly too.
Damn. Twisted Hippo. They do a beet one. That's the only other crew that I know that does a beet beer.
Yeah. And then I met up with Buddy Sergio on Sunday, and we checked out Eris.
Man, the goddess of chaos is Eris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michelle Foyk and those ladies.
Hazy bronze medal winner.
Yeah, first ever year for those categories.
The Fork and Haze. I had to get that. I believe I've had it at like a festival.
I want to say you were at the one at Beguile, the city party, the City of Chicago pop-up Friday Night Lights thing?
Yeah, and
I feel like you were talking about it there.
And they might have had it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably where I had it because I didn't want to have a cider at that thing. I was like, I want beer. Mm-hmm. So I had it there, but then I was like, I got to have it again. It won. It has that same spicy hop that both Alarmist has as well. Like, it's less juicy. The Chicago hazy beers are... almost like a jalapeno bite to them. Like, they're not enough to like, oh, this burns. It's just like, oh, there's something there. It's not juice. It's not orange juice. It's not mango juice. There's like hops there.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you, even if you don't like hazy, juicy beers, these have that other, they have that character in them that kind of make you.
And I think that's why they won this year in particular, because it being a new category, the judges are used to judging beers, right? Yeah. And they're looking for, they want beer, not necessarily juice. And I think that's maybe what helped Chicago win this, that they're still beers. They're not like, hey, this is orange juice that happens to be 8%.
Right. And then, you know, like when you're submitting to those festivals, you're looking at, I don't, you might be looking at 2-3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
From the time it ships to the time it's in a glass for a judge.
Yeah.
That might be a three-week run. That might be a month.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the Chicago breweries know that. Like, when we talked to Alarmist, they said, like, Yeah, we know people aren't drinking our beers right away. Like, if you need to drink it in 14 days, that's not how beer should work. Like, you should drink beer fresh, but 14 days is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I bought this before I left on the trip for Japan, the Triptych stuff we're drinking now. Stuff just sits in your fridge. You, like, see it. You're like, I'm going to pick this up. Oh, but I have this other beer I want to drink. I don't want to drink that right now. Blah, blah, blah. And so I think that Chicago brewers, like, are brewing beer first. And the Fork and Hay, it's excellent. Yeah. They also had they do a lot of blends with their ciders because they are cidery. Like, we forget that, like, they won.
It gets lost in the shuffle that they make cider, too.
Yeah, they won for their beer, but they are a cidery first, really.
Right.
But they do a lot of blends with their cider and beer. And so I had the Fork and Berry, which was a blend of the Fork and Haze and one of their berry ciders.
Yeah.
And then they also do, what's the word? Like, beer ciders? Like, beers that are brewed like ciders.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I know that one.
I might be describing that wrong, but it was a totally different category in the list. It was like ciders, beer cider blends, beers, and then beer ciders. And so I had one of those, and that was really good. It was the IPC, like the Indian Pale Cider.
That's true, because like dry hop ciders work. You know, I've seen them and I dug them.
No.
And then, like, you know, the whole, you know, shandy thing where it's like, you know, beer and maybe like some kind of juice. Lemonade is first come to mind.
Right.
It makes sense that this kind of an extension of that. That sounds cool.
Yeah. That's cool. You've been over there, right?
I've never been there.
I thought you were there.
No, never been.
The space is beautiful.
I want to go. It's my old neighborhood. I miss my old neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is Michelle Foyk. And Haley Shine is the brewmaster. Well, she would be a brewster.
Brewster?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Head brewer.
Oh, but yeah, they're crushing it. She was at Rock Bottom. And then, of course, Michelle is really approaching, like, legendary status, man.
Right, because she was at Virtue.
Yeah, she started she started sales at Revolution when Revolution opened.
We gotta record there.
We should go there. She used to manage Goose Island pubs. I don't know a lot of people that go as deep as Michelle does as far as, like, really care. I told her one time, like, the reason I started drinking cider is because you guys were at Virtue slugging this cider down here, you know. And that's when I started seeking out cider more. Was my Virtue experience.
I would commend Virtue, like, as much as I maybe like rag on Goose Island or like joke and Virtue,
because
like
Goose Island bought
with AB's money. Virtue did like convince Chicagoans that like cider isn't sugar water.
That's a fact. Yeah, I know. Greg Hall got on the project. Well, Greg had a after they sold, Greg had a non-compete where it's like, he couldn't start a brewery for, you know, X number of months or years.
And so then,
he started a cider company. And then when his non-compete ended, he re-upped and signed again.
Yeah, and signed the non-compete? I don't think he could sign a non-compete again.
No, I think, like, there was a window of the you couldn't start your own brewery.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, do you want to extend that window of you not starting your own brewery?
What did he get? More money?
No, I mean, well, obviously, probably. I think he was a consultant at Goose, though. This is all like drunk beer fest talk.
You don't like re-sign a non-compete.
Don't.
Well, what would you get out of it, right?
Like,
he would have to get paid again.
Right.
For you to be like, hey, it's like, oh, you can't eat potato chips for a year. I'll give you $500.
You and your potato chips.
And then the year's up. You're like, hey, would you like to continue this? I guess I could. What are you going to give me? Nothing. Like, why would you sign it?
No, you got something for
it. Yeah, you got something
for it.
So he must have got something, but then Goose Island.
I think by the time the non-compete ended, I think he was just like a consultant of Goose.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened.
Okay.
That fits a little bit better, I think.
There is murky details in.
This is not something people just talk about.
Right. Greg Hall's.
This is all hearsay. We don't really know what happened.
Greg Hall's non-compete / Goose Island buying.
But I imagine if you like left Goose, right? Like, I think when they sold, I don't think he was down with it all the way. In fact, he had that meltdown at whatever bar, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't with the, he was not with this shit. So there's a chance he's going to go say, I'm going to do my own thing.
He was already kind of checked out, but that's a random conversation for another point, right? That's not a, we have no facts and it's all hearsay.
Yeah, this is Drunk Festival talk at this point, right? We got to stay focused, man.
Yeah. But yeah. Aris, man, you gotta make it there. The food is great.
I wanna go.
The drink list is massive. It's like 4 pages of beer, cider, blends, beer, ciders. Like, I had 2 beers, and they do all like half pours too, which, coming back from Japan, I was like, half pours? This is great. I can try a lot of stuff. So I like that.
Yeah.
Like Haymarket kind of style. Like, okay, just give me the option to get a smaller glass. I like it.
Yeah. I think we were up against the clock, and I ended up missing the train anyway when we were up in like McHenry County. Oh, so, you know, we're sitting at this Irish bar drinking like a full Daisy Cutter, right? Oh, but up to that point, like, it was all, let's get the samples.
Taster, sample flights.
Let's
get flights. Tasters,
let's try it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Whew, that was a couple weeks covered there.
That was good, man.
It was a lot, and like... Yeah, a handful of my recent Chicago stuff happened in like the last 3 days. So,
you're an animal. I don't see how you're able to pull all this stuff.
I do it for the show, man. I put my heart in it.
It's a commitment, man. I salute that.
So would you have, I guess, out of these 2 weeks, we sometimes bring this up, a favorite thing you drank, like a standout drink? We don't really have like a every week we do this, but when I remember,
yeah,
mention it. But was there a standout beer you had?
I tell you something, the Haze from Energy City, were really dug, right? And of course that Floyd's thing was really good. The pastry barley wine with the caramel.
Right. Well, you did pick up 3 bottles, so must have been.
Dude. Yeah, my insecurity is on display right now. but I think the best thing I had was this Tennessee Tornado from Evil Horse.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's not one of those, you know, cool kid breweries. You know, it's not one of those breweries like on your, you know, on your radar. But they're cranking out good stuff, and it's in packaging. It's not your typical pairing. You know, it's a Tennessee whiskey barrel, and it's a Belgian strong ale. You know, so you get, you know, some familiar flavors that are just slightly different than you're used to having them. You know. And then it's just nice booze and oak, bringing it all together, wrapping it up in a nice big bow.
Okay.
Man, I'm telling you. And then I've been to their tap room, and their tap room's fucking great.
Okay.
So I'm saying the Tennessee Tornado from Evil Horse.
That beats the Henna.
Yes.
Whoa.
Henna's great. Henna's even, I mean, the more Henna warmed up, I was like, man, these boys are crushing this shit. No wonder there's so many Hennas that come out all the time. These boys are crushing it. Yeah, because Henna was that's the one that won FOBAB last year.
Yeah.
Slightly altered, and obviously probably more time in barrels too, because, you know, they were only 6 months old when they won. But yeah, really the same ingredients, just probably a different type of cinnamon and maybe a different barrel.
Okay.
But man, like, and I hate to just be like, oh, that barrel-aged beer was the shit. But dude... Man, I wish I had another bottle.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. The best thing I drank was from Minho? Mm-hmm. I forget. I should have double checked how to say this, but in Japan, it was a WIPA.
WIPA. White IPA?
I believe it's a white IPA. I don't know why I don't have a lot of details on why it's called a WIPA, but it is a double IPA, and it's 9%. All the beers at Minho were served on nitro.
Nice.
9% IPA on nitro. My God.
Get it popping.
It was gone in like 15 minutes. I was like, and it was like, I believe this was like day 10 of the trip, and we've been drinking like basically rice lagers most of the time. It was like, oh my God, this is so good. I have to get another one.
Man.
And we left that place drunk.
Nitro's a game changer, you know?
It was kind of nuts. Just like, it's expensive to have nitro beers. That's why you don't see that, right?
Yeah.
And, but they were, all their beers, their pumpkin ale was on nitro, their stout, just everything. And a WIPA.
Hmm. Yeah.
I believe it was white IPA. It wouldn't make sense, right? But that does, Must be something wild. Else. Wild? Yeah, no. I don't know.
No, it was like, but it tastes like a straight up IPA.
Yeah. It was just, there's so much flavor and that nitro added that extra little like creaminess to the IPA that you'd never get. Like you, it was right. like that hazy cream that you maybe get from a hazy IPA that you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And then sometimes like you put some beers on nitro and like you want, the body's great because it's like silky and fluffy, yeah. but you want like a denser experience, right? But you got a double IPA on nitro. Yeah. It's like,
if I would have saw a bottle of this, I would have grabbed it and brought it back because it was good.
Man.
That was the best thing.
In Japan.
Yeah. It was the best thing I drank. Yeah.
Right on.
Cool. Well, then, coming up this week, or maybe coming up in general, because we're not super prepped for this show. We had a lot of things to cover, but there are some events like FOBAB. You mentioned more winning there, but that's coming up. Tickets are still available.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I'm saying that like they are.
Yeah, because I was telling Chris, I was like, yeah, I said the same thing last Thursday. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm pretty sure like one of those Saturday night sessions or Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday night's probably.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night's good.
I feel like I would have saw if it was sold out. There would have been.
It would have been like we sold it all.
Yeah.
Man, that's such a big party. I was talking to somebody in the elevator about FOBAP today, and we both agreed, like, we're not waiting in line for the cool kid beers.
Just going to go, whatever?
Whatever's open, we're just going to go.
Okay. You'll wait in line.
Nothing pisses you off is more than seeing, like, you know, one of those ropes that you would dock a boat with and all these schmucks in line for this one fucking beer at this festival. It drives me nuts. Drives me fucking nuts.
The bad thing about waiting in line at a FOBAP beer. They are good. Whatever that line is good, you are about to forget that beer in less than an hour. It was probably good, but you've now had three or four other tastes of something that it's gone.
I crave those experiences like, you know, like I think it was last year you were saying like, yo, you should really try this Oarsman from Bell's or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Is that the raspberry Oarsman?
Yeah, like raspberry. I don't think raspberry Oarsman. Like I crave those kind of vibes. Like, yo, I just want to know about something that wasn't on my radar. Mm. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Maybe they'll have like blueberry this year.
And then we say all this shit and then before you know it, you're waiting 10 minutes in line for like microphone.
But the lines are not... Waiting in line for a beer isn't the worst thing because it also slows you down.
Yes.
Like you can crush through a line or a row at FOBAB and you're trash because there's not a line. You're just like next. But waiting in line like maybe slows you down a little bit too.
Yeah, there's an advantage in that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Especially like the goose line because that line wraps around the freaking place.
And since we're having a talk about it now, like it'll be something I remember when I'm waiting.
Yeah, and you get to chat about the things you're drinking.
Speaking of microphone, you know, they're having an invitational the week of FOBAP.
Okay.
Called Microfobap, which
nice. Okay.
I dig that. Yeah, I was just gonna fire off a few names from that list of brewers, but yeah, it's like Well Works, and you know, there's a lot of invitational guys coming to this thing.
Okay.
So. Yeah, and there's four sessions. Oh, like, you know, Four Hands and Bottle Logic, the crew in LA where a lot of their stuff's like sought after.
They just did BlizzCon was this weekend.
BlizzCon?
It's Blizzard's game like World of Warcraft.
Okay.
They just did four or five beers for StarCraft, which is another Blizzard game because it's the 20th anniversary. Speaking of, we're drinking this 20th anniversary beer. Mm-hmm. For StarCraft, so they had 20, or they had four or five beers for StarCraft only, and so that was, Bottle Logic, awesome.
And I've never had their stuff. So you know, like Casey's and Untitled Art, Transient, you know, the brewery.
Are there tickets for this still, are we invited?
You know, this is a strange. It's a raffle, and then in order to get your name into the raffle, the ticket's $55.
Okay.
It's like $55. And there's four sessions, so each session is only 2 hours.
Oh,
wow. And then in order to get a ticket, you have to go to the brewery and make a purchase to be entered into a raffle for the right to buy tickets. There's a lot of rules here.
A lot of loopholes there.
And then every beer won't be available at every session, and it doesn't really say that. And it looks like it's all gone because these were all like $25. Okay. There are 25 people or something like that.
Wait, it's
25 people per session?
Because it's a mic. Micro It's a micro festival at Microphone. No.
They should have next year. They could call this Microphone Bash, right? Yeah, you got four sessions with like 25 people each, and the sessions are so small that they just listed the names of the people that can buy tickets to the session. That's how small it is.
Damn,
it's an interesting concept though. So just wanted to mention that. Plus, I like Microphone.
Okay. Yeah. Then also coming up is a lot of can releases. Like, this is like ridiculous. Mm. Friday is Angry Birds, or not Angry Birds? Angry Pigeons. No, Pigeon Porter. Pigeon Porter.
Oh, goddamn Pigeon Porter.
Goddamn Pigeon Porter.
From Spiteful.
They are releasing four packs of Pigeon Porter, different variants of Pigeon Porter. You can buy that at the Tap Room on Friday.
Give me a mixed four-pack of goddamn Pigeon Porter.
Angry Birds, Pigeon.
But Porter, Haymarket does have a beer on draft called Angry Birds.
Right.
They package that. They're probably going to change that. Yeah.
So they are following the lead of you picked up those milk stouts from Half Acre.
Yeah.
So they're doing something similar. These are four different lineups of the goddamn Pigeon Porter. I'm going to go pick up cans.
Yeah, I'm more curious if there's like a, I want to say there might be a peanut butter one. I'm kind of curious about that one.
Yeah, I forget. I don't have the list in front of me, but it's a pretty nice lineup. And I don't know if a lot of people are going to Spiteful for can releases yet. Like, they're not on the map for the can release kind of thing.
Yeah, because that goddamn Pigeon Porter, like the, was bottles, I want to say, last year. Mm-hmm.
350 has a can release coming up, I believe, on the week after. Friday also, Half Acre has a new beer coming out in cans. So it's just like nonstop can releases.
Yeah. Half Acre Benthic, too, on the day before Fobap.
Oh, okay.
Benthic's the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
And we should find info about Big Hugs very soon.
Big Hugs, December 2nd.
Oh, okay. We already found it. Now.
Yeah.
Nice. They did that like package last year, so they'll probably do that again, right?
Big Hugs 10, December 2nd.
Damn. Wait, 10 years of Big Hugs?
Big Hugs 10. Crazy.
I feel really old.
Yeah.
Oof, all right.
I put that Benthic over Big Hugs, I think.
Yeah. Benthic, you remember it more. Big Hugs is good.
It's good.
But.
It's good.
Benthic has like a creamierness to it. It's kind of nice.
Benthic's a monster, yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay.
For coming out. Any other events or anything to talk
about?
We
got some news. I just want to say cheers to the Central Wisconsin Craft Beer Collective.
Mm-hmm.
This is around Stevens Point. We met those ladies this weekend, and they were very nice. They told us about 4 hours away, just up in Wisconsin, in the middle of Wisconsin. There's like this this 15-20 mile stretch where there's like five or six breweries,
okay.
And they are part of tourism, and they're saying, hey, you can come up. There's hotels here, and you can tap them all. There's even a winery and a distillery in the collective. So I just want to run through the collective real quick. There's Point Brewery, Oso's. Central Waters, mm-hmm. right? And they had a Black Gold from Central Waters, which is one of their barrel-aged stouts. That
nice.
Was really good. I got a chance to try that. Sunset Point is the winery. Great Northern is a distillery. Yeah. And then three or four bars as well.
Nice. Okay.
So the reason I'm bringing it up is because now through November 30th, and we'll put this on the website too, now through November 30th, if you go to StevensPointArea.com, you can enter into a raffle, and they will send you and a friend to Central Wisconsin, put you up for a couple nights, and you can party down with them.
They should put us up.
I have
Let's
a friend.
Go. Let's go. We'll promote Stevens Point.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do this.
So I just want to say cheers to them.
Nick's That's out the there news. Drinking in Villa Park on a Friday, 5 brewery, 5 Dude, beer spots. We can go out to Wisconsin, do this. Let's see what's happening.
And I hate to be a grumpy old man, but like this goddamn Villa Park train shares a line with a freight train. So I'm rushing back. It's a mile away. I'm rushing back. I get there, and I'm waiting a full 40 minutes for my train back downtown. I just wanted to cry.
Ouch.
All right. Sorry. All right. I vented. That's enough. Enough Metro talk for one episode.
All right. So a little bit news before we get out of here.
Yeah. One bit of news, man. Right Beside Her, mm-hmm. who they were setting up shop in Lincoln Wood, and that's where they had their ciders. They announced that they're going to have a tap room in Hermosa.
Nice.
Yeah, a 50-seat tap room on Costner, Hermosa. Hermosa is home to Pipeworks, and next door to Pipeworks is Off Color's original facility.
Nice, okay.
So now right beside her will be part of that crew, too.
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah. We'll keep it short. That's it for news.
I also want to mention that
yes.
Brewer's Eve tickets
now
on sale. Blue Dog Events. We went last year. We've gone multiple years in a row. This is a fantastic event. I hope we're able to attend this year.
I tell you something, man.
And I think it's supposed to be bigger.
But. Yeah, that's the only way. Now that I've gone to Brewer's Eve, that's the only way I want to spend the last day of the year. That's the only way. It's the only way to spend the last
day. No, it's good. So check that out. All right. We're going to get out of here. We're about to hit. We're getting close to an hour, so we'll get out of here. Right. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Instagram, we're always posting a lot of photos there. We got photos up on our stories. When the photos aren't good enough, you can see us just drinking on the stories often. I couldn't get good light at Aris, so I just had, like, story stuff up.
Go.
Like,
there
it didn't...
Go.
Wasn't Instagram photo worthy.
That's true. And it's important to feed the stories too, though.
Yeah.
So
check that out. And the website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything gets posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. We're always posting other photos on Facebook. So we're all over the place. Yeah. Doing it. YouTube channel. We got other beer reviews. We did those Corona minis.
We did the Corona minis. We talked about a certain brewery. And how cool it would be if they had the tiny bottles for distribution. And then, like, 2 weeks later.
Tiny bottles.
Tiny bottles from a big Chicago brewery.
I'm down for tiny bottles. In Japan, you can often buy for about maybe a dollar and a quarter a little 4-ounce can of Sapporo or Asahi, like the macro breweries.
Mm-hmm.
They're tiny. They're like little... Like little shots of beer.
I'm telling you, man, they're so cute. They don't get warm.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, but I like those cocktail crews that do it too. The Dawson has a really cool little pony bottle. And then Slippery Slope.
Slippery Slope.
Slippery Slope.
Yeah. But you can't get them to go. You can't, like, show up at a friend's house with, like, a six-pack of little cocktails. The brewery came up with 30-pack tiny cans.
Man, I'm all over it.
That'd be hilarious. So you could just pop one in your pocket for the go. Look good.
I'm shooting on the way to the studio. I'm shooting like four of them.
Just got a little can. Like, all right, that's good. I'm good. Nice. All right, let's get out of here. Take care.
Cheers.